turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. Amen. Appreciate the good crowd tonight in the house of the Lord. And amen. Appreciate what God is doing. Appreciated the weekend and had a wonderful weekend service. And appreciated Brother Bowling's preaching and the altar service. Amen. The way the Spirit of God came by. Amen. Was wonderful. And look forward to this weekend as well. Appreciate those. The new faces that are with us and those that God is bringing in and adding to the kingdom of God. Amen. As such that should be saved. Amen. I'm glad the ark of safety is still open. The night is coming that no man can work and the door will be shut. But right now, I'm glad the ark of safety is open. Amen. For whosoever will. Amen. In Galatians 5, I'll meet you in 2 Corinthians 6, but you'll remember in Galatians we started talking about the fruit of the Spirit, and we left off with long-suffering. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace, and thank God for every one of those attributes in our lives from the Spirit of God. But the fourth one in that list is long-suffering. I won't preach long tonight, so you don't have to suffer through it. That's not the long suffering that it's talking about. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, we then as workers together with him, verse number 1, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, in the day of salvation I have succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. But in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God, notice this next phrase, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses. Notice the four things that he puts together. Patience, afflictions, necessities, in distresses. Verse 5, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings. Verse number 6, by pureness, by knowledge, and notice this next phrase, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned. Two different times the Apostle Paul references the attribute in our life that the Spirit desires to place there, and that is that we would have much patience in our life, that we would be a long-suffering people. Amen. If you're going to shout, this may be right where you want to, right here. I didn't think you'd be that excited about long suffering. Amen. But when you're on the end that needs the mercy, aren't you glad that God is long suffering? Amen. May the Lord bless you tonight as you're seated. If we would be honest, most of us, our prayer life would be probably like the psalmist over and over again when he would say, make haste. Make haste. Hurry up, Lord. Make haste. How do we know sometimes serving God, God works on his own timetable. He's not limited by our timetables for sure. And many times when we try to box him in on a timetable, he will intentionally show us that he is not limited by time. And he is not limited by our schedule. Didn't he teach that to Mary and Martha? After the third day, they had completely given up hope. After the third day, they didn't think a miracle was possible, but he intentionally delayed his coming to show them he is greater than any timetable. He is greater than any circumstances in our life. And you and I have to place our utmost confidence in him, that we trust him. And by trusting him, we have to remain patient in our Christian walk with the Lord. It's not by accident. The Bible says, he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. How many's found sometimes you have to endure certain seasons in Christian life? Amen. Wouldn't it be wonderful if it was always camp meeting, if it was always miracle time, it would be wonderful if we could live there, but we'd be like the engine in a car if all the pistons are up all the time. You got problems. And our life is that way as well. Amen. Thank God for those mountaintop experiences, but I'm glad the New Testament talks to me as well on the contrary. That sometimes when when things are not going as I want them to, and I have to remain patient before the Lord. Matter of fact, the New Testament says a requirement for a bishop should be patient. It's amazing, we disqualify a lot of preachers over a lot of things, but impatient usually is not on the list. But the New Testament requires a bishop to be a man of patience. I hope I meet that qualification. 1 Timothy 6 says that we should follow after patience. 1 Thessalonians 5 said that we should be patient unto a few people that we like. Be patient unto people that do you good. No, the Bible said in 1 Thessalonians 5, be patient unto, go ahead and say it, you know you want, all men. So that means the boss that's hard to get along with. That means the lady that doesn't use the language that you desire to aspire to. All men, be patient unto all men. Romans 12 and 12 says that we should be patient, how? In tribulation. Hallelujah. Amen. Tribulation, I don't know, works patience. I love Warren Wiersbe's definition of long-suffering, and here it is. It is simply courageous endurance. It's not simply enduring for the sake of enduring, but it is courageous endurance. It is in the midst of tremendous opposition, in the midst of powerful rejection, in the midst of ridicule and opposition, in the midst of the contrary winds, courageous endurance. When it would be easy to quit, when the flesh says quit, when the flesh says I give up, when the flesh says I can't take another day, when the flesh says I don't think I can go one more hour, well, the Spirit rises up inside of us because it is a fruit of the Spirit. Remember that. The underlying theme from Paul's writing, it is a fruit of the Spirit. So my flesh, if I allow my flesh to get in the way, my flesh is going to want to quit. My flesh will say something like, well, I gave it my best shot. The flesh will say something like, well, everybody else is quitting too. The flesh will say something like, well, I don't see hardly anybody else living holiness either. The flesh will always justify the position, justify the change that we're getting ready to make. That is the flesh that is coming out in our lives. Now, maybe you never have the flesh say anything in your prayer life, but the psalmist, he got in the flesh when he said, make haste. It wasn't God's will. Sometimes you've got to wait on the Lord. And that's why there are times that the Spirit inside of us, with groanings that cannot be uttered, with things that I can't articulate, I can't say, I can't speak it, but the Spirit of God makes intercession with us, that the Spirit of God reaches hold of the Father on the other, on one hand, and on the other hand reaches down into our life, and he makes a connection. And Jesus says that he speaks that which he has heard. That's why it's important to pray in the Holy Ghost, because the Holy Ghost will speak things that he has heard in heaven. He speaks not of himself. Jesus said he only speaks that which he has heard. So he's maybe, now maybe it's my commentary, but maybe he's been in the councils of heaven, in the boardroom of heaven, and your name came up. Your pending prayer request came up, and the Holy Ghost got a message from the Father to deliver to you. He speaks not of himself. He speaks that which he has heard. That's why there's times, hallelujah, that in the Holy Ghost, when you get done praying, amen, you see things completely different than you started when you first started praying. It's because the Holy Ghost speaks things, and we walk not by faith, but we walk by the Spirit. The flesh says, I quit, but the Spirit says, greater is he that is in you. The flesh says, I can't take it anymore. Amen. But the flesh says that. But the Spirit says, Abba, Father, whereby? With the Spirit of adoption. The flesh says, I give up. But the Spirit will not let us give up. It is a fruit
of the Spirit. The Spirit tells us the next prayer request, the next time you pray, the next Sunday, the next month, the next year may be when God turns it around. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I talked to a friend of mine this afternoon on the telephone and been in a trial for a couple of years. Man, it's turning. It's coming back his way. Hallelujah. 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 I said it's turning and it's coming back his way. Amen. Oh, it'd been easy. It'd been easy to say, no, 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 I can't. And the flesh will not and cannot. For the flesh is indeed weak. But how many are glad that we have the power of the Spirit of God, and the Spirit is indeed willing. Thank God that we fight not in the flesh, but in the power of the Spirit of God, and we can pull down and cast down every imagination through the power of the Spirit of God. That's why preachers get on to us when we come to church and we leave without praying. How are we going to win the war? That's why when we come in late and we leave early and we lollygagging around. Amen. Almost needed interpretation for that, didn't I? And just lollygagging around. Amen. Then preachers say we better do better than that. The reason is, amen, you're trying to fight it in the flesh. And nobody has ever successfully served God for a long period of time in the flesh. You can't do it. You won't do it. Jesus made sure of that. If anybody could have done it in the flesh, it was his disciples. Would you agree with that? Yes or no? They saw his miracle working power. They saw the resurrected Christ. If anybody should have been able to do it in the flesh and based on knowledge, it would have been the disciples of Jesus. But he said, when I'm gone, it's expedient for you, because the Holy Ghost is coming. And tarry in Jerusalem. Wait for the Spirit. Well, I thought the Spirit is about shouting and clapping and feeling good. Oh yeah, it is. But more times than not, his greater benefit is when we're in the midst of the fiery furnace. I said his greater benefit is when I feel all alone and I feel like nobody understands and I don't even know how to pray about things, but I have somebody with me. I have the Comforter, and I have the Spirit of God, and I have intercession, and I have access, and I have power with God through the power of the Holy Ghost. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, God is long-suffering. We know that. Romans 2 and 4 tells us that he is long-suffering toward the sinner. 1 Peter chapter number 3 tells us that there were those that misunderstood the long-suffering of the Lord, because it was the delay in 1 Peter chapter number 3 and verse number 20, which sometime were disobedient once the long-sufferings of God waited in the days of Noah. Noah's comrades, Noah's peers rejected Noah's message because of the span of time, and they misused the long suffering of God. But it was God's long suffering that was delaying the judgment of God. After 120 years, God had finally had enough, and he shut the door on the ark. But not until men had had an ample opportunity to get saved and call out on God. But it was God's long-suffering that would not allow judgment upon this world. Judgment is impending upon the world once again. This time not by a flood, but by the judging hand of God. May mark it down and make no mistake about it. God judged the world once. He's promised he'll do it again. You say, I thought he would have already come. Me too. But probably it is the long suffering of God that giving you and I a chance to win family and win friends, and for the church to be the church in the last hour. It is the long suffering of God. But notice this, Colossians chapter number 1. Go over there with me if you would. Colossians chapter number 1. Because it's not just getting through the trial, but it's getting through the trial with the right attitude. And there's a major difference. Notice Colossians chapter number 1, verse number 11. Verse 10 says, that ye, that ye what? Verse 11, strengthened. Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering. Okay, I'm going to be patient, but he better hurry up. I'm going to hurry up and wait on him. But notice this. All patience and long suffering. What's the last part of that say? You stuttered when you said it. What does it say? Say it like you mean it. You don't act very joyful. You say, well, I got trial. Well, he did too. Hallelujah. And he said, in the midst of long suffering, in the midst of the dark days, I can still be joyful. Well, did you see how they were praising the Lord tonight? They must not have a care in the world. I beg your pardon. They may have more cares than you. But in the midst of everything, I still have joy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's not just getting through the trial. It is getting through the trial with the right attitude. If you lose the right attitude, you lose the blessing of getting through the whole trial. How many teachers enjoy teaching students that hate going to class? It's no fun. You know what it's like? Pulling teeth. Sometimes we're the same way with God. All right, I'm going to keep coming to church. I'm here. And it's like God has to pull teeth to get us to be blessed. Hallelujah. You say, you don't have any trial? Come on now. You're in this life. You got trouble. Amen. You got any trouble, raise your right hand. You got double trouble, raise your left hand. Look around and see. Anybody got trouble? It's not a stick up, man. You know. Anybody got, yeah, I got trouble. But if the trumpet sounds, it's all over. I said, if the trumpet sounds, it's all over. I said, this is as bad as it's ever going to get. If I can hold on, if I can make it through, I said it's over. I'm leaving this world. I'm going to live on forever and ever and ever. Woo! Glory! You say, I don't see it coming up. Well, it's kind of like that. Anybody ever read about that Chinese bamboo tree? I mean, that's just interesting reading, isn't it? I mean, that's riveting. You know the Chinese bamboo tree? You plant it, you got to water it, you got to work the ground. And you know what you do the first year? You know how much the bamboo tree grows? It doesn't. Nothing the first year. Oh, it's doing some stuff under the ground, but you don't see anything. You know what you got to do the second year? You got to work it, you got to cultivate it, you got to fertilize it. You know how much it grows the second year? It doesn't. Nothing. Dirt. Nothing. Third year. Fourth year. Nothing. How many bamboo farmers? Not me. Not me. But that fifth year, all of a sudden, after labor-intensive work for several years, it bursts fruit out of the ground. And in 3 or 4 months, can grow possibly 80 feet,
can grow 24 inches in 24 hours. Oh, yeah. Amen. After the first or second year, you say, I'm done with this, man. There's got to be a better way to make a living. Well, the devil tries to tell some of us the same thing. We go back to prayer. All hell says, ha, 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 ha. Doesn't look like it's getting worse. It's getting worse. It's getting worse. But I got news for you. There's going to come a day. There's going to come a trumpet sound. I said something's going to break up out of the ground. Amen. Paul said it like this, that the dead in Christ are going to rise first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be called up to meet them in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Quit now. I think not. Stop now. Backslide now. Give up now. Not on your life. I'm going to keep shouting. I'm going to keep dancing. I'm going to keep preaching. I'm going to keep singing and shouting and running in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Woo. I say hallelujah. Woo. Woo. Not that I want to get your mind distracted right now, but can you think of your biggest problem? Is that hard? Or do you have too many? Think about one. All right? You got it? If you're not, you got to go like this. It's not a trick question. Some of you, how many, you're not going to participate? If you're breathing, go like this. That problem would not be near as big to you if you knew Jesus was coming in 60 minutes. It wouldn't. I said it wouldn't. If you knew Jesus was coming in 5 minutes, it wouldn't be that big a deal. I said it wouldn't be that big a deal. And I got news, he might come. I said he might come. That's why I can't quit. I said I can't stop. That when the trumpet sounds, I don't want to be backslid. I don't want to be lukewarm. I don't want to be half-hearted. I want to be shouting. I want to be dancing. I want to be preaching. I want to be working. I want joy. I said I want joy. Hallelujah. Come on tonight. Stand to your feet. Let's lift our hands in the air and give God some praise. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. Woo. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. I tell you, Brother Alston, do you have some Bible examples of people that would inspire me? Yeah, I got one. You ready for this? Demas. That ought to encourage all of us. Or did it not do much for you? Why? He quit. I said he quit. You know who James wrote in the 5th chapter about patience? He didn't say take Demas. He said take the prophets, for example. Isaiah, Jeremiah, take the prophets. They might have been sawn asunder, and they might have been martyred, and they might have shed their blood, but their very last breath, they were still preaching. They were still walking. And James said, that is it, my brother. Don't quit. Be patient, therefore. How long do I have to be patient? James answered the question. Be patient, therefore, unto the coming of the Lord. So when Jesus comes, you can quit being patient. But until then, don't you turn and tell five people, I'm going to endure to the end. I'm going to endure to the end. Now, don't lie. If you're thinking about backsliding tomorrow, don't lie. Hey, hey, hey. I'm not giving up.